The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That is great. Mrs. Palmore wrote that song, so praise the Lord for that. That is a blessing. Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verses 3 and 4. Well, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier." As we think of our veterans today, we think of those, of course, that were veterans of yesteryear as well. I can think back in reading history about the war that took place, of course, the Civil War, of which I speak of, July 1863, where there was the General Robert E. Lee with his Northern Virginia men, 75,000. There was the Union Army, 97,000 under General George Meade. And as they gathered on the fields of Gettysburg, there was a great big coming together as far as the war is concerned. The greatest part of that war was fought on that field of Gettysburg. It lasted 3 days. 172,000 troops was involved. 634 cannons were involved. 596 tons of ammo was involved. By the end of the 3 days, there was 8,000 bodies of soldiers that lay dead on the field. There was 5,000 horses that lay dead on the field. There were 72,000 that was wounded, 111,000 that was taken, 11,000 that was taken into captivity. About 4 months after that, President Lincoln decided that he was going to be able to write a speech and to be able to talk about that event that happened in Gettysburg. Started off with four scores. It talks about on the battlefield, the field of war. But inside that speech, he said this: "Those brave men that living now are dead, who struggled to have that which is a place where they could call home, dedicated as far as we can see, but now those that are laying here certainly powerless. But those that are laying here are not powerless," as he would go on to describe the men that would lay on those fields. He described the times where they would take and they would be able to leave that, a time of consecration, a time of dedication. But this day, he said, no man can compare. No man can be able to speak the words that would be able to commemorate the sacrifice that was made on this field. And you know, when we come to a day like this, no man would be able to speak, I believe, and no man would be able to commemorate the sacrifice that the veterans have made. There's no way to be able to rise up and say thank you in such a way that would show that you and I want to thank them from the depths of our heart. But I believe as we live on here in the United States, that the United States of America, I believe, is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I believe because of that, we ought to take our stand. I believe because of that, you and I ought to do like the veterans do in taking stands whereby you and I be able to salvage our country. So I want to speak to you this morning, if I may, for the few minutes we have together, on thank God for the veterans and thank God for you. Let's talk about this morning as we be able to think about what we could do. We have a new elected president. So what do we do with that new elected president? We have, if you will, a country that has been in turmoil for many years. We have a country where it seems like that God has been taken out of every given situation. There used to be a day when people would stand and they would give honor as they would say the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag. Now you have people that disgracefully kneel to show that they do not appreciate, nor do they look at the American flag, the flag, by the way, that represents their country, that represents their freedom. But in great stupidity, do they kneel to be able to prove their little bitty point? There was a day, however, when we had the Bible that was in the public school. There was a day when people could kneel and they could pray, not just secretly have to pray in our public schools in order to get away with it, but they could actually kneel and pray. Nobody would bother them. America has changed. Some things that has happened over the last several years, I would say 10 years to be honest with you, has desperately taken control, because they felt like that I'm going to get this and I'm going to keep this. And so they desperately reached out for something. And by the way, they did take control of some things that has altered that which is America. Now, can I say, I believe it's time that America is taken back by those that live for God. I believe it's about time that you and I stand up and be proud that we're Americans, not globalists, but Americans. I believe it's about time that you and I decide that we're going to go to the front of the line and be able to say that because our country is our country, that we're going to stand for that which is right and we're going to stand for that which is true, and we're not going to bow the knee in any given cause. Let me give you some things that I believe veterans have stood for, and I believe that you and I ought to stand for as well. Look at our verses this morning where the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Can I tell you, whenever you stand up for something, there's going to be somebody that is going to try to get you not to stand. If you take your Bible to work, can I tell you, there's going to be somebody make a comment. If you bow your head for prayer and you ask God to bless the meal that you're about to take, and I tell you, probably there's going to be somebody that's going to make a comment. Can I tell you, if you pass out a gospel tract, somebody is going to probably say, "No, I don't want that piece of literature," and somebody is going to make a comment. Now, can I tell you, people are making comments all the time, but may I say, don't let the comments stop you from doing that which is right in the eyes of God and what is right in the eyes of God's people. Here's what we see. The Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, help people to understand that when the national anthem is played, it's time for you to stand. Get back to taking that hand and putting it on the heart when you say the Pledge of Allegiance or when the national anthem is played. Get back, if you would please, to being proud of your country. After all, I believe that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Get back to where you ought to be and being able to be that one. And by the way, you ought to get very upset with somebody that burns a flag. You ought to get upset with somebody that wears a flag on the seat of their britches. You ought to get upset when a flag touches the ground. I'm saying, I think it's time to bring patriotism back to the land where patriotism did very well start, in the land of America. Can I say, how do you do that? Statement number one, stand up for your country. Stand up for your country. You know, an old deacon was praying one night. He was praying around the altar, and he was saying, "And Lord, I pray that you clean the cobwebs out of my life." Every time he'd get at the altar on Wednesday nights, he would pray over and over, "Lord, I pray that you'd clean the cobwebs out of my life." And over, every Wednesday night, right before they'd have preaching, he'd gather at the altar with all the other men that was praying, and he'd pray, "Dear Lord, please clean the cobwebs out of my life." And he prayed over and over again. Finally, one man just got a little bit fed up with it, and he said, "God, don't clean the cobwebs out of his life. Kill the spider." You know, and sometimes you just have to be right out plain about things, don't you? I mean, you know, sometimes somebody has to rise up and say, "Listen, I'm going to stand up for some things." And I think that Christians, I think you have stayed in your closet long enough. Everybody else is coming out of their closet. I think it's about time you stand up and you come out of your closet and you live for God and you go forward and let your kids see that you've got something to be proud of and that you're an American, but more than that, an American Christian. Or may I say, a Christian that's an American. Statement number one, stand up for our country. Statement number two, value your freedoms. Value your freedoms. You know, for many years as I traveled as an evangelist, I would travel to many countries around the world. I've been to, of course, Abuja, Nigeria, West Africa, and working with people there, and even working with different government officials in different phases on stuff, and helping out pastors and helping out Christian leaders. And I've seen some anarchy that has happened in that particular country. I've been over to Cambodia many times, in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and boy, over to the Philippines, I think 49 or 50 sometimes as I traveled to the Philippines to be able to help and to be able to guide. And now we're having a huge meeting over there. I guess upward to 750 preachers will be there in September. And I've got congressmen that's coming. We've already got people signed up. And Brother Abante, that used to be a congressman in the Philippines, is making sure that he's getting different ones to come. And we're going to have a gigantic meeting. Now, why are we doing that? We're doing that to be able to help people to take the right stand, to be able to go the right direction, to do what they should do. And can I tell you, if other countries are waking up and seeing what they ought to do, so ought you and I here in America. Value the freedoms that you have. As I visit other countries and I see in Thailand and different places where there's a restriction, can I tell you, here in America, you don't have the restrictions that other countries have. You know, we don't have laws that forbade us to be able to read the Bible. We don't have laws, if you will, that stops us from passing out gospel literature. We don't have laws, if you will, that tells us. We have freedom of speech here in America where we can speak up and tell people about the truth. And can I tell you, we understand that we have these freedoms. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, "No man, it says, that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." The Bible says that he may please him that have chosen him to be a soldier. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about not getting sidetracked. Not getting sidetracked. You know, stay on course. Never forget that you're a Christian. Never forget what God has done for you. Never forget that it's a wonderful thing that God has done for you. He has saved your soul. You're now going to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Well, don't be afraid to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to speak about him in the public arena. And don't be afraid to speak about him in your private household. Don't be afraid to speak about him to your neighbors and to your friends. And be able to display that which is a Christ-like attitude in everything that we do. Many years ago, there was a new recruit. He was recruited to the Navy, and he had a wedding that he needed to attend. So he came, of course, to the one that recruited him, the recruiter, and said, "Is there any way that I can go to the wedding?" And the recruiter said, "Absolutely, you can go to the wedding." And he said, "Well, you know, the wedding is at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening doing a church service, and I want to be able to go to that." And he said, "Well, absolutely. Absolutely, you can go to the wedding." He said, "But I'd really like to stay over and the very next day have another day off too. Would it be okay if I do that?" He said, "Sir, let me tell you, don't forget now that you're in the Navy." In other words, don't forget your priorities. Don't forget that you have signed up for something. Don't forget that the priorities is that you're supposed to come back and do what you're supposed to do at the time that you're supposed to do it. Another man was coming home one day, and he had served a long stint of time in Operation Desert Storm. He's sitting beside a lady on the plane, and as he's flying in, this lady spoke up and said, "Now, how long have you been there in Operation Desert Storm?" He said, "I was there about a year and a half." She said, "Well, you must have really missed your family." He said, "No, ma'am." "You didn't miss your family?" Oh, no, ma'am. My family's going to be at the airport. I can't wait to see them, but no, I didn't miss my family." See, we were instructed, and this is what he said, we were instructed that we're supposed to pay attention to that is taking place right now and never let anything to interfere about that which might or might not come. Amen. Now, can I tell you, I think sometimes we have all these hopes that's way out here, but we forget to live today. Mm-hmm. We have all these things that are way out there that we try to reach for. But we forget that you've got children to raise today. You forget that you've got a marriage that needs help today. You forget that you have a life that you're supposed to live this very hour. And I think sometimes we reach for the stars, and by the way, you'll never catch the stars, but you can live for God today. What about saying the right thing today? What about being in the right place today? Brother Hirsch, Hirschbein, that was at the Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi many years ago. He said this. He was going deaf. He was going blind. And a teenager came up to him one day and he said this. He said, "Why do you come to church? You can't hear. You can't see. Why are you coming to church?" And he looked at that young person to the best of his ability as he squinted and tried to see the frame in which he was looking at. And he said, "Young man, you listen to me. I'm coming to church because I want everybody to know whose side I'm on." Amen. Well, amen. Amen. You know, it is good to come to church because it lets your children know whose side you're on. Right. It's good to come to church because your neighbors need to know whose side are you on. And by the way, you know the reason churches close down. Let me help you just a little bit. But you know the reason that churches close down? Churches close down because of a lack of attendance. I mean, who wants to preach to an empty pew? Hello? You know, and I think in our day and time, people need more church, not less church. You say, "Why, preacher? Why do you believe that?" Well, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. By the way, whenever a teenager starts having trouble, my first question to them is this: have you read your Bible? Have you read your Bible? When all of a sudden somebody comes in for marriage counseling, the very first thing I hit them up with is, "Okay, let me ask you, sir, have you read your Bible? Do you read it every day?" I'll look at that wife and I'll say, "I'm just asking you a question. Have you read your Bible? Do you read it every day?" So why do you ask such? Because the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Mm-hmm. By taking heed according to thy word. Okay? And so we understand this, that the word of God is what cleanses. Can I tell you, those that are visiting here this morning, I thank God for you, and I thank God that you're here this morning, but you don't need just one service out of the year, my dear friend. You need to be in church all the time. Because if you were in church all the time, it would change your living. It changed your wife. It would change your life. It would change your husband. It would change your children. It would change your grandchildren. It would change the very way. You know, the more you put in, the more it changes the way you see things through that which is your focal point or the filter in which you're looking at. Okay, now wait a minute. You put the bad things in all the time, and you're going to start viewing things that way. You put the negative things all the time, you're going to start viewing things that way. But you get around somebody that loves God. You get around somebody that believes God can. You get around somebody that believes in the Bible. You get around somebody that says, "Hey, God is the one that can control." And you get around somebody that just, hey, come on. You get around somebody that says, "Let me tell you how God answered that prayer. Let me tell you how God answered that prayer. Let me tell you how good God has been. Let me tell you what God is going to do in our lives." Hey, you get around somebody that's excited about that which is truth and about that which is the Bible and about that which is church, it'll change your living. What happens is this: we put God in when we want to put God in because we need a favor, or we put God in because, after all, you know, I hadn't been to church in such a long time, better show up because somebody might not think good of me. Hey, listen, forget all that stuff. Just fall in love with God and get in your Bible and let God have reign. You'll never have to worry about coming to church. You'll never have to worry about doing the right thing. It'll be a natural response. You'll be excited about the things of God. Oh, look, can I tell you, I don't just eat one time a day. Now, you can probably tell that from my masculine stature. But I just don't eat one time a day. Matter of fact, I'll shock you. I don't just eat two times a day. I'll take it even further. I don't just eat three times a day. Let me shock your system. I don't just eat three times a day. I don't just eat four times a day. I don't just eat five times a day. Can I tell you, I like to be like that old cow that's out there grazing in the pasture and just do it all day long if I could. But I'll tell you something that the Bible teaches here, and that is this: you ought to understand, and I ought to understand, that we have a responsibility to God. As those that are veterans here this morning, what a great, great crowd of veterans. And thank you so much for coming. And again, thank you so much for making and keeping our country free. But I think that you and I that are not veterans, yes, along with the veterans this morning, ought to decide that we're going to stand up for our country. We ought to decide that we're going to value the freedoms that God, yes, God, has allowed us to have in our country. Let me give you one more statement, statement number three, and I'm done. Work to make this nation the greatest, the most respected, the most honorable nation on the face of the earth. Now, by the way, you have to work at it. You have to work at it. You know, once a month, I'll take and I'll get somebody to go with me, and I'll say, get yourself a notepad, and I will walk these buildings from one side to the other, every nook and every cranny, and I'm writing stuff down. You know, third beam on the end in the auditorium as you come in on the right needs a little bit of paint. I'll write it down. I'll walk through the bathrooms and write stuff down. You know why? Because I believe in taking good care of what God gave us. I don't want somebody to come to church and say, well, I tell you what, well, there's some nastiness here and there's some nastiness there and this needs to be taken care of and this needs to be taken care of. By the way, it's people that don't care that let things just go. You know, when I first came, Brother Yao can attest to this. He's head of our maintenance department. Well, when I first came, I would sit in that office there, and there was a drainage pipe. You remember the drainage pipe thing. There was a drainage pipe that came down over there right next to the gym, and man, it needed paint. Oh, did it bother me. Every time I look out that window, I'd see that drainage pipe needed paint. And I told the staff, one of the guys, I said, look, either you're going to paint it or I'm going to paint it, but it's going to get painted. We're not going to have that thing staring at me every single day, crying out, make me look better. Amen. Now, I'm saying this, take pride in what you have. Boy, have you ever ridden in somebody's car where you couldn't find the floorboard? You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever visited somebody's house where you couldn't find the floor? And if they had a fire, you would wonder, am I really going to get trapped in here? Have you ever done that? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, thank God for the value you have in being an American citizen, and thank God for our country. But how we make our country great is you decide to do the right thing in your place.
Yes.
You know, there's no way I could stand up for you, but I can stand up for me. There's no way that I could stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ for you, but I can stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ for me. There's no way that I can read your Bible for you, but I can read my Bible for me. You see, I believe, now let me help you a little bit. Let me tell you, when all of a sudden somebody starts to get backslidden, they start to get backslidden when other things crowd in. It takes their attention more than God. Right. Example, they come to church and they don't love God as much as they love communicating with somebody on a cell phone during preaching time. What's that showing? That shows that they love somebody else more than they love God. Come on. All of a sudden, the guy, you know, he comes and he looks at a girl across the room. The whole time preacher's up there preaching, he's looking at this girl, just staring at her like, just hoping that she'll look back. She don't even know you were alive, and if she did, she'd wish you were dead. We have all these things that get her attention. All these things. You know? And we, because we live in such a critical society, Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a preacher, but I'm telling you this morning that, boy, I'm ashamed at some of the people, the way they're acting about this election thing. The country voted, grow up, and accept it. Go forward. Well, you know, I disagree. Yeah, I tell you what, all these Hollywood people that said, if that guy gets it, I'm leaving the country. I volunteer to help you get a plane ticket. My staff would carry your luggage to the plane. We won't even cry when you're leaving. Matter of fact, we'll say goodbye with a smile. I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen, why don't the Americans, especially the Christian Americans, stand up? come out of your closet and you decide, hey, by the way, you've got a great opportunity, so you stand up now, and you stand up and you announce that Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you get faithful to church, and you get back to the Bible, and you get back to that which is right again, and you just decide that God is worth it, and you do what you're supposed to do. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying work to make this nation the greatest, most respectable, and most honorable in the world. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin, it says, is a reproach to any people. Amen. So exalt righteousness, right doing. Amen. 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 Somebody sneaks around and they're trying to steal something. Shout. Yeah. Say, no! Said, you'll give them a heart attack, preacher. They deserve a heart attack, preacher. Come on. Don't be passive. See some kid stealing something out of a store. Well, it's only because he... No, stealing is still wrong. It's still wrong. You see some person lying about this. It's still wrong. I said it's still wrong. You know, some kid gets demerits. It's in their Christian school, and a mom and daddy come, oh, my little junior got demerits and don't deserve the demerits. Oh, dear, I just, you know. Hey, look, don't protect your kid from getting that which they justly deserve when they do wrong. Come on. What are they going to think when they get a ticket one day from a police officer? I'm saying this, righteousness exalteth the nation. Over in Psalm 33 and in verse 12, the Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And by the way, you cannot separate the pulpit from real life. Amen. You can't do it. And any preacher that tries to get behind the pulpit and tries to separate his preaching from that which is real life experiences is not doing you any value whatsoever. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible says, and the people whom he hath chosen, it says, for his inheritance. So you decide that you're going to be the one that's going to stand for that which is right. Watch this. Many years ago, and I'm getting ready to close, there was a time when it was called D-Day. The Allied forces, if you will, landed in France. And as they landed in France, there was much, much fighting. I'm talking about it was the war of wars at that time. Many were trying to get up a hill, and they were trying to be able to overtake a pillbox, and there was machinery that was firing down, and it just seemed like when they landed on the shores that those that were behind the machineries, those that were behind the machine guns, those that were behind, it seemed like an unstoppable force were just pounding, and tens of thousands of soldiers were being mowed down by these machine guns and being killed. All of a sudden, they came up with an idea. There was a man that was a notable man, and he was known for being able to attack pillboxes and being able to bust out the machine guns. So they sent a wire back and said, we really need him here. Well, he came. Boy, I tell you what, he was able to overcome many of the pillboxes. He was able, because of his strategy and his thinking, to be able to do things differently than was the norm. And so he went in and he attacked this and he attacked that. And boy, he captured this. And it was amazing how this man, his strategy was totally different. But yet he was getting the job done. Finally, they captured him. They put him on a pole, and they said, we're going to put him up there on that pole on the highest peak of that area so that people can see that we got their man. They put him on the pole, and they shot him a couple of times in the side. They were going to make an open display that, hey, we got him. It's over. We got him. What they failed to realize is he had a grenade, and as they shot him the second time, he popped that thing, pulled that thing, and he just kind of casually just threw it back. When he threw it back, it blew the guys up. Oh, that's what grenades do. It blew the guys up, and it also blew the pole over, whereby he rolled down the hill. And as he rolled downhill, everybody thought he was dead, and they forgot about him for a day or so. And as they had taken that hill, they found him there, And he was just laying there. He was all bloody and he was a mess, but he looked up and he had one question. He said this, "What took you so long?" He survived. Now, can I tell you, that's exactly, I believe, what happened the day that our Lord Jesus Christ hung on a cross, and the devil and all the imps of hell stood against him. And then he bowed his head. He said, prior to bowing his head, "It is finished." And may I tell you, at that time, the devil and all the imps of hell thought, "We got him, we got him, we got him." They put him in a grave, and 1 day goes by, and 2 days go by, and 3 days go by, and he rises victorious over sin, death, and the devil, and it's the biggest boom the world has and will ever hear, because through Jesus Christ, everyone can be victorious. And can I tell you this morning, it is God that will make a nation great. But also understand this, it is God that makes an individual great. I'm not saying great in your pride. I'm just saying that God can use you. God can use you. It is God that can use you. And God can use you in your prospective places, and God can use you as you bow your head for prayer over a meal, and God can use you as you read your Bible, and God can use you as you take your stand, God can use you as you come to church, and God can use you as you go to an altar and you pour your heart out for a lost loved one or somebody that needs Christ. God can use you. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on those that are your relatives. God can use you if you simply decide that you're going to be all that you should be for that which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and also it will have an effect in our country. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.